Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of A Night Breeze is brought to you by Ezra Kirk and the North Farthing. Thank you. Hello, friends. Welcome to an Unexpected Podcast. I'm Lane.
And I'm Ez.
And tonight we are sniffing the night breeze as we discuss some of our favorite moments from behind the scenes of the filming of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I'm excited
about this one for a few reasons.
Educate moi.
Well, no. Although that will be fun. I'm excited to, because it's always this mysterious thing. Like, how much has Ez delved in the appendices of the films?
Yeah.
Not the books.
Come on,
we know the Flannel Wizard is down there in the Minas Tirith archives going, hey, Max, what book do you have?
Right.
Paragraphs, can we order this? And we know that happens.
Let me get the new box set.
Versus Lane Smith, who's sitting up late at night going, you know what I really want to watch? Bodo Kotez's uncut, unedited footage from behind the scenes from the filming of Lord of the Rings.
You even know the guy's name.
I do. I think I got it right. Bodo Kotez. I'm pretty sure.
Dude, that's
the
awesome.
Pronunciation might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's his name.
How would you like to be that guy?
Dude, can you imagine? Where's his credit?
Well, I'm just thinking.
Where's
like,
his Oscar, baby?
Because
of his name, you mean? What do you mean?
No, yeah. And I mean, like just being a part of this film, like just being the guy who does the appendices. Like, then, that would be crazy.
Yes.
Hunt for Gollum, bring it on.
He was the one who got all of that awesome, low quality, behind the scenes footage that they would cut away to. So the production element of the appendices, I'm pretty sure that Peter Jackson all set up, they did. But he was the guy with the handheld running around following everyone. Am I too hot?
No, you're doing great.
Okay, good.
I'm actually going to turn this up a little bit.
I'm trying to compensate for my toes. My toes are getting cold quick. I'm going to have to go put some boots on.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We're literally outside.
We are outside. Sniffing the night breeze.
In case you guys didn't know. Fire's burning.
Yeah.
And it's legit. We spared no expense.
No expense. And so I'm driving to this point here because I'm trying to keep it short. But, yes, anyway. I love that guy. And I always think to myself, there's all this hours and hundreds of hours of footage that's unused from the filming of the trilogy. How many hundreds, if not thousands, of hours does he have of behind the scenes stuff that never made it into the appendices? I'm sure tons.
I'm sure tons.
Maybe some stuff that we will never be allowed to see, honestly.
Right.
But anyway, yes, I love the behind the scenes of the films. This is great for a few reasons. A, we just got done doing some behind the scenes stuff.
Yes, we did.
At this point, people will know that we are now in the North Farthing,
right,
in the backyard of the house of the home.
Yeah.
Of Sam and Rosie Cotton, of Ezra Kirk and Mrs. Kirk, Lottie Kirk. And it's incredible. Like, we had kind of kicked the can around. We were gonna record in the garage. Then we talked about maybe inside. And then you had this idea.
Dude.
You were like, and you were reading my mind, because I'm like, dude, what if we had a fire? Nah, it's like a lot of setup. I don't know if they know where they want to put their fire pit. I'm very, because I remember how when we got our house 9 years ago, and it was all about like, you know, people kind of said, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you? It's like, no, thank you. Mm-hmm, we want to do it our own. And thankfully, we didn't have tons of that.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to be that guy who's like, hey, what if we have fire in the backyard? And you called it. You read my mind. So,
boom.
Fire pits are out of season.
They're out of season, dude. I went to Menards, and they were like, dude, what are you talking about? That's where. Like, he's like, well, it used to be where all the Christmas supplies is. Go check
there. Oh, shoot, it ain't going to be there.
So I went there, and I found something that was, like, not going to – it was, like, a gas thing, blah, blah. I was
like, you were looking at menorahs, probably. Can we get a menorah big enough to just sort of light the oil?
Really? I mean, seriously, I was about to resort. I was gathering tiki torches thinking, like, I'll make this work, dude, you know. but then I went to Lowe's. I was like, surely Mount Vernon Lowe's has got it. Let me down.
Nothing.
But
who came through for you?
Big old granddaddy Walmart.
Wally World.
Can't believe it. I was like, they had two left. Yep. They also had another one that was pretty massive. And I thought, you know, for
start
the
small.
Time, I was like, I'm going to start small. And also, the setup on this is easier.
Yes.
The other one was probably about, I don't know, 50 more bolts.
Yeah, so, it would have been a couple more hours of setup, like, knowing us.
I'm good.
So the cool thing about this, again, like, this fits in life imitating art, art imitating life. I can't remember which way it goes, but it's one of those two.
One of those.
Like, literally, we just got done, Ez just got done, setting up behind the scenes for this atmosphere for tonight. On a special night, we're doing a batch. We're going to try and get through five episodes, dude.
Dude, we're going to.
Maybe.
We're going to.
Maybe more.
No,
and Sarah said we couldn't do it because we couldn't keep it short. And I said, you know what that does to me, baby? And she goes, she starts laughing. She goes, I know.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
Every
fire
time.
Me up. Oh, did you hear that?
We got more behind the scenes.
We got
going
some
on. We got Mr. Kirk out here. He's freaking laying trim, literally.
Literally laying trim, you guys. Like, he's actually trimming out. It's corner round. He's running corner round around the dining room.
Yeah.
Like, no joke.
So it's behind the scenes with him behind the scenes.
You know what? I want to say something. This
Please.
Is a night breeze that they're not supposed to be super sentimental. But I do think about this.
Mm.
Dad's in here working on my house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, here I am recording this behind the scenes. This is kind of crazy. But you think about, you remember when Arwen, you could hear Arwen in the background walking around to your place?
Yes.
And it's like, now I'm like, I don't know, dude. I just want to hold on to these memories of like Dad being here working, doing different stuff. And you and me, you coming up here helping me get
20
stuff
years
organized.
From now, you'll listen to this
saying.
Episode. You'll go find this episode. You'll listen to it and you'll be like, I remember that. I remember
that
how
night.
I felt. Yes.
Dude,
on a beautiful night.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous out.
I always say this. I always root for people to have one of these, you know, your own behind the scenes moment, right?
Yeah, bro.
Where you just sort
100%.
Of just document. It's, I don't know. People are all like living the moment. Do that. You are living
That's
the moment.
That's what
this
is, I think.
Right?
When you recognize behind the scenes for the moment, I think you are in the moment. 100%.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because then we enjoy doing this. And I don't know, just hearing that circuit, that saw. Go off every
so cool,
every note and now
Let's
and
go.
Again. He's making some solid cuts back there. By
he
the way.
Is amazing, and he's so dude. I
he's
love
been
Mr.
here all
Kirk.
Day.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's been here every day for the last three weeks.
Yeah,
since Thanksgiving, and he's so amazing. He was like, "Am I gonna bother you guys?" He said, my first came in, he's like, "I'm probably gonna head out soon." I'm like, "Ah, dang!" And then he was like, "Well, will this bother you guys?" And Ez like, "No, Dad, no."
No
I was like,
no.
"Absolutely not."
Yeah.
So he's like, "Well," a couple more minutes go by. He's like. I'll probably just try and finish this up then.
Yeah, he's just
And I'm like, thank God he is. Because, again, that's captured now.
I know
Mr.
It's
Kirk
captured.
In the background.
I was hoping we could get this up before get going. There he is
there
again.
There it is. God, I love that sound, dude. That sound is so cool because it's like, that is production, dude.
It's production.
That's literal. Literal
I know,
production.
I know,
he's making stuff right now.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that will last forever
and,
that your kids, your family will experience
That's why
for,
he's doing it.
Forever.
That's why he's doing
it.
He's taking care of his son. He's taking care of his daughter-in-law. And I don't know, man. We share these things sometimes. One, because I'm rooting for everybody else too to have these moments.
Yeah.
Like recognize those moments in your life where that person's there and
yep.
I don't know, just be grateful, be appreciative, and live in the moment, and also capture it some way. And if you can, keep it in your mind.
Yeah.
When you slow down and you like think about it for a little bit and you sort of build a little experience with it, then it sticks better. You can go 100%. Back and you can. You know, because we sometimes are looking to the horizon way too
always.
Much,
yeah,
you know,
always.
And so it's always good. I feel like whether it's friends, family, or whoever, a reminder to slow down for a second.
Yeah.
Because getting here to this moment right now was rushed around like a crazy man.
Yeah,
you
it
and
was.
I were, like,
yep,
it was like holiday season.
For
we both,
of
got
us.
Stuff going on, school, different things. And so I was like, I'm so happy that this went smooth.
It really did.
This behind the scenes,
and we
guys,
even
this
had,
gone
and we even had some hiccups. You know, like Sauron's trying to steal our joy, man. Like we were going to get a certain type of food, didn't work out.
Right.
You went to look for a fire pit in a certain place, didn't work out. I got delayed. Things, you know, things like
almost didn't get the extension cord.
Almost didn't even. I don't know
gonna,
that story.
Was,
Give me that behind the
gonna,
scenes.
Well, it was going to run on battery power. Was going to run on.
We would have lasted 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
These things burn through. Anyone who's using a Zoom knows, or looking to use a Zoom, the batteries last for about 5 seconds.
By the way, Joe Rogan runs on Zoom.
Yes,
just so people know.
Did you love that behind the scenes?
I love that.
That is all for show, bro.
That's all for
That's
show.
That's all for You don't need any of that stuff.
No, it's well, Lane saw something behind this. Jamie, who runs his podcast,
yeah.
and looked right back there, and he's like, dude, they're running the same equipment we are.
It was
like,
in the background. It was so funny. There's
since,
a big,
you know.
Big soundboard out front that with all these switches and levers, and then behind him in a corner is a Zoom with the mic cables. I'm like,
same thing.
That's all they're
use.
Doing,
it's,
boy.
Yeah,
that's all you need to do.
That's all I need. Anyway, thanks for that. Yeah.
Of course, dude. Thank you for having me here, and thanks for being willing to do this. Like, again, some people get their, I know, dude. I know. The heavens before
the heavens
us.
Heavens are literally just, there's nothing above us, guys. As you listen to this, there's a fire in front of us.
Mm.
We can see the horizon that we just spoke about, and we can see the lights. We can see the north farthing.
Yeah.
You know, we're
here at
BM Bell. We're working on our hobbit hole in here. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I love that, dude, because I think you and I, we probably have been criticized for this in the past. We do. We stop and we celebrate moments along the way.
Yeah.
We don't rest on our laurels.
No.
They don't make good pillows or beds.
No, no, no.
But
right.
We do like to smell them. We like to smell flowers as they come in. And yep. I think if you don't, I mean, I've looked to the Hobbits, and the Hobbits appreciate all those daily little things. And I think, yeah, if you don't appreciate the steps it takes to get to where you're going, then why are you going there in the first place?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the point? What's right. the point? Because you won't appreciate it.
Dude, I was reading one of Tolkien's letters the other day.
Yeah.
And by the way, I debated whether to even mention this, but I'm thinking, like, this is a Tolkien podcast, like, don't you want, oh, man, and then the embers start, and then the logs fall, and then the fireflies go in the air. It just it keeps building, man.
I know.
It's a true night breeze.
We got plenty of wood. We got dinner waiting for us,
dinner
too. That's our carrot
right.
to get this.
To get
we got to keep it short. Right, I don't know how we're going to do that, but we will.
Me neither. So a letter from Tolkien.
Yeah.
I think we got this book, Lottie and I, for you.
Yes, right? You did, last Christmas.
The letters, yep.
Yes.
So I'm up there with Max from Paragraphs, which
yep.
if you guys come to LEP 3, you're gonna meet him. Part of
yep.
the quest will be to go there and to
yes.
purchase Lord of the Rings books. I
yes.
basically said,
yep.
bring them all, man. Get them all.
I talked to him tonight, too, so I have an update on that as well at some point during recording.
Gosh, okay.
Yes.
Anyway, so I bought the book myself because, you know, just I wonder. I'm now inspired to, like, get back into it. I'm like I said to Lane a couple episodes ago, like, I'm the guy trying to get into Silmarillion, like, as fast as I can. But now I'm even like, whoa, there's other stuff, dude. So it's just been crazy. But in one of his letters, he was talking about just how a short walk over the hill
mm-hmm.
is this journey,
yeah.
is this adventure.
Yeah.
And you can count the steps in that, man.
Yeah,
you can count the steps in this. Like you're saying, it's just I just imagine him and the way he would talk and just what he thought, how he viewed life, and
mm-hmm.
you can see it in the Lord of the Rings. You can
mm-hmm.
see it in all of his works,
mm-hmm.
but and how the Hobbits would just, you know, just tromp through the Shire,
yeah,
right, and how they would
yeah.
just enjoy that, and they it, we never get to go with them. We get to go on one big adventure, but they often would reflect and talk about the many times where they were just, you know, up in the North Farthing or walking
yeah.
around to different
yeah.
places and
yeah.
going here and there. And Bilbo often did it, and Frodo emulated him and stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's great.
It is. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's a beautiful night. We're here. We're enjoying this. So we're getting some behind the scenes in real life. Another thing I was thinking about, the way this applies and is timely, again, invitation, is we just, not even a few nights, like a few nights ago. We're recording this on Tuesday. Friday night, we went and saw War of the Rohirrim.
Yes, we did.
And anytime you, and it's been a while since we've seen Lord of the Rings in the theater. If it wasn't, you know, we did go back and see parts of the trilogy in the theater in the past. It's
mm-hmm,
been like
mm-hmm.
5 or 6, 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been a while. But, you know, it's been the first time since The Hobbit that something new has come out in the theater.
Yeah.
And anytime you experience something like that, you immediately go, oh, God, how did they do that? Or what's the story behind that? Or, like, what kind of stuff went on? And you're seeing promo for War of the Rohirrim, and you're seeing Brian Cox. You're seeing Billy and Dom.
Yeah.
You're seeing
yeah.
all the actresses and actors in the booth recording.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they weren't on set, you know they have stories.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking about behind the scenes. You're thinking about the production, Peter Jackson.
Miranda and the narration. And
yes,
stuff,
Miranda
right?
Otto.
Yeah,
and all the new characters, all the new actors and actresses that
right.
come in and have delivered, like, incredible performances. So, you know, automatically your mind kind of goes to, how did they make this, the time
yeah.
they put into
yeah.
this. It was evident on screen.
Right.
And then another way that this fits is, like, concerning Hobbits is in the thick of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I say this probably too much, but for me it's just such a joyful experience that I, again, it's like you're saying, just taking time to notice it. I'll send, we have a group DM of everyone in the production. I will often just say, what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
The performances, and we're only just getting started. The performances that you're putting in, the time, the thought, whether it's art or font or a voice or writing or asking questions about your character or finding inspiration outside of the story to bring to your character, like, all of these different things are being done behind the scenes
yeah.
to create something that I know everything that's coming.
Yeah.
And I listen to it, and I'm still moved. And so I really feel like right now I'm kind of living in the appendices, and I don't want it to stop anytime. I don't think it's going
Dude,
to stop. I honestly
yeah.
think this project, I've said it before, I don't know if I've ever said it on the podcast, I think it's probably going to last 10 years
yeah.
because it's just the way – it's honestly kind of a beautiful thing because we're not bound to a production,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not bound to a company. We're not bound to a schedule or deadlines or producers or anything
no,
like that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a pure passion project, and it comes through. And it's an amazing thing because we're able to work on it until it's in our minds as close to perfect as possible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so that just means there's more behind the scenes forever. But it's
right.
just so cool how already there are conversations, there are stories, there are laughs, there are tears, there's all these beautiful things that have happened behind the scenes that we're going to get. We found a way, really cool way to share that we talked about as well, which is going to be awesome, at least even just in a small part. But even if it's just someone personally, like the way it's all done in isolation for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so people might be sitting by themselves recording.
Yeah.
And they are building these memories, like sweating it out, like Macy sweating it out in her closet.
Oh, man.
Matthew Johnson out in the West March in the wild recording in a trailer. You having your Rosie read lines to you to play off of.
Right.
Me stuffing my face full of hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Chewing into a microphone, which is going to terrify some people. A real phobia. It's a real phobia. You know, Mike Charles and my cousin Chad and Joe Lewis and Luke all recording outside.
That was cool.
Sometimes in the cold.
Right,
you know?
To see that, yeah.
It's amazing, dude. So, yeah. So, anyway, I feel like it's sort of happening all the time. And I know it might be over-dramatizing it. It might be glorifying it. But to me, I feel like this has to be, in our own personal way, so it might be even a deeper connection, what it felt like to work on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, man.
Like, in a different medium, this is it. And
yes, it is.
It's so special. Because for years, dude, I would watch those appendices for comfort. I would look to them. I would think, like, for a minute when I wanted to make movies, I was like, this is how you do it. This is kind of the cool behind-the-scenes stuff. And now we get to live it, dude, whether it's writing more lines or recording pickups because we wrote more lines or having conversations with people who are recording or now talking to Jake about editing and mixing and making sure it sounds as perfect as possible. It's unreal. So
yeah, dude, I hear you on that. Can I just real quick interject?
Get in here, baby.
Okay, because like as I've been reading some of the just extra stuff, unfinished tales, the appendices, extra stuff, things that weren't finished, the letters, and you're just more immersed in the world. It's what you're talking about in terms of like, you know, concerning Hobbits and you do, it, the production, the end product itself is so good. Right. So it's great. It's everything you want it to be. And then there's extra. There's more.
It's the journey. And the journey that we're going
right.
on.
Right. Think about it like this. So the Shire is wonderful. We all love the Shire, right? Yep. But you're there and you could stay there forever and that would be perfect, right? But there are white spaces.
Yes.
And it is what carries the characters out to go explore. Wow, there's more here.
Yeah.
And so that's what like the appendices feels like, the behind the scenes and you're right. I think to be a part of a production. For something for like the Lord of the Rings fandom, right?
Yeah.
Just it's insane.
It is insane.
It's awesome.
It really is.
And
it's
I love
like
it.
Dream come true. So yeah, I'm gonna add some more fire.
Yeah, it's more
or
fire.
Some wood to the fire. I'm not gonna add fire. Can you imagine? That's
wow, the secret fire.
We need Gandalf for that, probably. don't we?
Yeah, I'm just Radagast. So
you're the flannel whiz, baby.
Well, I mean, sometimes I do try to. Go ahead.
I was gonna read this question, and then I'll let you if you want to do the first one.
Yeah, give it to me. Yeah,
or I can do the first one too. So this question comes from Josh. This is a great question, too. I love this. Again, it's fitting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan, only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. He says, I would love to hear more about what you guys know from the filming process behind Lord of the Rings. Your guys' knowledge of the BTS is always super interesting and fun to hear about.
Well, let me start, and you go ahead and put some wood on the fire there.
Let's hear it. And we could do top three. We could just do main ones, whatever you want to do. Give it to me.
This would be interesting, because so as Lane has already said, I don't really know a whole lot about it, but the little that I do, honestly, a lot of it has come from Lane telling me about different things or late night after the podcast, us watching it, which has been great, you know. But I think like one of the things that I think a lot of people maybe didn't know, and if you're a Lord of the Rings fan and you're listening to this podcast, you probably do know, but your average fan out there, a lot of people like my dad and different folks, would not realize that those three movies were all filmed all at once.
And like nice. That pairs in with mine, dude.
Yeah, it's like the magic of that, right? The foresight. 100%. To get all of that done, to have three movies just shot there, you're in New Zealand, and to have...
They don't do that now with trilogies.
They don't do that, no. Nope. No one does that. Nope. And I think...
No one does it.
Again, you're doing an adaptation so you know where it's going. You're adapting it, which is great. But I even think when you're doing a trilogy of any kind, you should be... You should know the whole story. And it feels like nowadays they're like, well, let's just try it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, where's the...
It's almost like each part of a trilogy is a pitch for the next part of the trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to actually telling a story. Like, that's the thing about Fellowship. I mean, I tell this story famously. Like, when I got done watching The Fellowship of the Ring as a 13-year-old boy, I was like, that's it? Do they get to... And my uncle was like, it's just part one. I was like, there's more than one part?
Yeah.
So in my mind, it almost, although I had questions, it felt like a complete story.
Yes,
Like, they each feel like complete stories, and that's why it's such a strong... Mm-hmm. Trilogy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that it's just the ability. I mean, nowadays, like directors and writers and stuff for movies, it feels like they're not, if they're going to pull off a trilogy, it just it's like accidental.
Yeah,
almost like, that first movie was really good. Let's make the second one. What should we do?
Yeah.
And I appreciate authors like Tolkien and others who wrote a whole trilogy. They set out with a start and an end point. They knew where they were going, and they could really tell and weave together this awesome, enticing story. He had six books, right? And we divided those up into, or you know, the movies, or the books themselves, right? This book one and book two. Fellowship is actually two books, right?
Yes, yes.
So anyway, it's just really cool that Peter Jackson had the foresight just to go ahead and do all of that. Everyone's there, and everyone's committed, and it felt like, I think that makes it also feel... So there's something special about it because there is such a bond between the cast and crew.
100%, dude. They were there for 13 months.
So long. Yep. Yeah. Like, and so much is going on. So many different stories and journeys. And so to me, I think that's what was fascinating was watching that going like, oh, they didn't have to go back and redo. Like, they got it done. And then, you know, some of the obstacles I think that Peter Jackson had to face in terms of, you told me about this, like getting this done, getting the money, getting the funding to get it going, and like the studios and all the different complications there. And I was just like, that's a man who had hurdles and overcame those hurdles, 100%. Right? To continue on and to see it all the way through. So those are things that I find, you know, really fascinating. And then I do love all of the other just stories about when we talk to we have stories that aren't in the appendix, that are not actually, you cannot watch or go anywhere. They're on our podcast. Way behind the scenes. Two stories. And we've never even tried to follow up those books to get a second. We probably could.
Yeah.
If there's anyone listening who was a part of the cast and crew or has any, you know, connections.
Yeah.
And you want to share some more behind the scenes. That's what we're about, man.
We need an end cap to the trilogy. Because we've had two people, we need a third person.
We need a third,
So let's see if we can work on that. Maybe we can work on that.
That'd be really cool, man.
We can find somebody for sure.
Because I mean, Tammy also said she'd be back for a part two. But like, just awesome. Hearing her talk in those stories, and then Shane Runge like coming in and telling his stuff, like it was just so cool. I mean, to see the characters that they played, to see how the makeup went down, and to hear extra tidbits. So that for me has been, you know, probably the coolest in terms of the behind the scenes stuff that was going down. And you always will pull out something. I feel like you've memorized a lot of the...
Well, I mean, Sundays for a long time as a teenager where we'd go to church, we'd come home, we'd make pancakes, make some roasted apples with cinnamon and butter and all these, like, we made like a Hobbit
meal
eventually. Essentially, my dad would make bacon and eggs. Like, we would have a nice second breakfast. We'd put on one of the Lord of the Rings. Yeah. We'd watch it. And either watch it all the way through, or I would wait until someone fell asleep, and then I would switch over to the appendices, and I would just watch them like every week. I loved them because I thought at that point there wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
There was no behind the scenes that was that in depth that I knew of anyway that was readily available on the DVD set that it came with. Yeah, back when DVDs were, I got those box DVDs. And it was intoxicating, enticing. I thought it was fascinating the way it was done. The stories, and then just the backstory. I mean, the beginning of the very first appendices is all about Tolkien. It's about his story. It's about his life.
Yeah.
It's like an hour long, just featurette on him. And so the fact that they literally said, we're going to talk about everything.
See, that's awesome. Because you were also younger, right? You were in high school, right?
Yeah, very impressionable.
I mean, like, I feel like not a lot of younger people, by the way, it's cold out here. So if you hear us stuttering and
spitting around. I'm sniffing like crazy.
It is cold.
Sniffing the night breeze.
I love it, though. But not a lot of younger kids would, I feel like, go watch that, and that'd be their thing. Because as I've gotten older, I'm somebody who, even in Star Wars, like, I watch it, and then I think The Last Jedi came out with a behind the scenes, and I was like, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm older, and I want to know more about the cast and crew and different stuff. And that's not always been my forte. I typically stick to. See, there I go.
We're having trouble talking, man. Dude. It's that cold.
It's really that cold.
We're going to do jumping jacks in between episodes.
I typically stick to the story lines, the plot, and the extra pieces there.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this is all about the actors and the crew and the cast and the director. Yeah. And I think it's...
When they're inspired people, it's incredibly interesting, right? Yeah. Because... Like everything they're true. Talking about is based, is it's all leading toward, even if you think about like Andy Serkis, how he talked about, the origins of the voice. Because no one had ever nailed the voice like that before. People had always come close, and it was never like everyone went, yeah, that's the voice.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
with him, it was like, that's the voice. And he talked about like one of the inspirations was his cats at home.
Wow.
And one of the reasons he does the...
Is because... Hairballs?
Furballs. Hairballs. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So literally he sort of used them as part of the inspiration.
I wonder everybody loves Gollum so much.
Yeah, because everyone
there's
loves
like this,
cats.
There's
yeah.
this weird fascination yeah, where people dude. Like, oh, Gollum, he's so... Yeah.
Poor little kitty. Like, he's literally like a tomcat and a lovable stray at the same time. Like
especially he's when he's coming back to the light there for a little bit. You're like, oh, man.
Come on in. Here, you can. Hey, you're a stray. Come on in. You can live in the garage. Then he tries to, claw your throat out.
Right.
Throttle you in your sleep. So yeah, okay. So mine actually goes right into that. My first one, or maybe even the biggest one, honestly, is just that this was done. These were the movies you can't imagine not existing that shouldn't have existed.
Yeah,
they were to kind of like caveat off of your point. They were underdogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like part of the reason it was such a struggle for them to get these made. A, it was supposedly like the one story out there that was unfilmable. People for decades have said like this you can't like
can't
that's one
it.
Of the reasons Tolkien kind of like gave the rights away. He's like good luck
buddy.
You think you're gonna make a successful adaptation of this, try it. So it was thought to be unfilmable, but also like Peter Jackson was and his team in New Zealand, they were massive underdogs. They were known for making like B or C list movies that were gory and rude and lewd and like low budget, not taken seriously at all until he made Heavenly Creatures. Heavenly Creatures was one that got like Academy attention and all this stuff. But before that, he had just made like cheap monster movies. Like he loved that type of genre. It's what he loved. It was his favorite and it was his forte. So the fact that like they were this diamond in the rough, they were this group of people who didn't know that they didn't know kind of a deal, and that they were the ones to make these movies is perfect. Because they were essentially the hobbits of the filmmaking world, right?
Right.
Not only like them as a team, but you think about, dude, we could probably go into Mount Vernon,
mm-hmm.
pull five people, and we'd be lucky if one knew where New Zealand even is.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, true.
And that's now. Back then, like people had, they couldn't find it on a map. They had no idea. It's a small country. It's on the edge of the world. Mm-hmm. There's 5 million people in New Zealand, right? That's a third of Ohio's population.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And for all of this greatness to come out of that country, it seems surprising. But when you think about the ingenuity, the creativity, the resourcefulness that all Kiwis have, it's not surprising. Because is it like the number 8 wire... mentality or whatever. It's like some kind of like fencing wire that they use that they can turn into anything. And it's like, it's a phrase and a colloquialism they use for just Kiwi ingenuity.
Yeah.
And like, that's one of the things too, that when they started production, like they talk about, they were filming out of tin sheds. And I mean, compared to what they have now down there with the types of studios that they've built and buildings that they've built, they really were like tin sheds. I mean, they were things that they got money for that they were able to finance through the new, and like, again, they weren't like literally tin sheds, but by major motion picture standards, they weren't the best facilities at all. And so all these different things that went into that, and then just the fight they had to put up, like you said, to get the movie made, to get it financed. It was financed, and it was bad. Like, I could go on forever, and you can go watch the appendices, of course, or go watch people really lay it out, because I always forget stuff, and there's always these little nuances and aspects that you forget and that just like run together. But the fact that it was even made is a miracle, and the fact that it was done by underdogs is so inspiring. The fact that they were on the edge of the world, too, where they could kind of, I mean, like executives were at them all the time, but they almost kind of just let them play. And that trickled down from the top all the way down to, people who were actors and actresses, people in stunts, people in every you know, the guys doing the chainmail, the two guys who made, you know, tens of thousands of links that they put together to make all the chainmail for the – they took pride in everything they did.
Right.
And I think because they were underdogs, because they were – they weren't esteemed and they weren't like no one – you know, to use Michael Scott's terminology, like maybe next time you will estimate me. Because they were underestimated, that they when you don't give a shit, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you don't care about what people think of you, that's when you're totally free to make beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I think you have Steven Spielberg make this trilogy, not the same.
Yeah. Oh,
you
no,
have
sure.
Dude, I don't even know. You have James Cameron make this trilogy, not the same. It's because of who they were.
I mean,
in
so you're saying, like, you know, just I didn't know that about Peter Jackson being into horror films and movies and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
like,
dude,
being into the
they're wild
creatures
too.
And stuff.
Yeah.
So
Meet the Feebles
sense.
Is a crazy one. It's like
oh really?
It's like Muppets that are rude.
Wow.
Like there's graphic sex scenes. There's graphic murder scenes. It's insane.
Wow.
Like you would watch that movie and think, how did this guy
be the guy?
Not only make Lord of the Rings, but get the chance to make Lord of the Rings.
And
like,
it's also still so wholesome. Like Lord.
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. But what I was driving to is that like is when you read the series and then when you watch Lord of the Rings, I guess I should go back. When you read it, you sometimes forget all those orcs and goblins and everything. They're all there, man.
They're all there.
They're all chasing you down. There's huge armies, and you're like, you're just with the heroes. But boy, what did he bring to that? I mean,
true.
It's what makes that movie is like there's a scary element, dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Like seriously, 100%. I mean, when they're down there making the Uruk-hai and stuff, like, and they're, it's just freaking.
Yeah,
it's scary, and then you're really rooting for it. It seems real, and you're like, it looks real, and real prosthetics, real stuff going on.
Yeah, so that background definitely helped him, right? Because you're right. I mean, if you nail the good characters, but the bad guys aren't scary,
right?
Like
exactly.
It's not the same thing.
Exactly.
So yeah, you're right. The fact that he had that kind of background and expertise, and that's also part. I'm
sure the Black Riders, dude. How scary are they? That sets the whole tone for everything.
Here's another behind the scenes that the shriek of the Black Riders, the Nazgul, is Fran Walsh, his partner.
Wow.
Yeah, so she makes that scream.
That's insane.
Yeah, so he was like, and little stuff like that, he was like, they're like, we can't get the scream right. He was like, you know, Fran she can really shriek pretty terrifyingly. And they were like, really? Have her come in. So yeah, all these different things that, and like with all the monsters and all the orcs and all the creatures and stuff, he was the one who would go in and like, he would see a whole wall full.
We're good.
It's wet.
It's cold.
Enough. He would see a whole. There's cinders flying out of here. The wood's popping,
great.
Baby.
I love it.
It's excited too. He would see this whole wall full of creature designs, and he'd be like that one. Go farther with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I like this part of that one. And then when they were all right, then they would have this like PJ approved stamp they would put on design.
And that's awesome. He can see it. He has an eye
for
that art.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he knew the people to pick who could like. Go all the way out here. Okay, well, I need you to come back a little bit. This person will go over there. You can go farther. I know you can go farther. Go farther.
Right.
Like all these different, people who thought the same way, who could visualize the same way. So, yeah, right. I mean, I think honestly, that's like an umbrella for all the other things that happen. Like we all know about, like, you know, Aragorn breaking Viggo Mortensen breaking two toes.
Yeah, yeah.
The three of them running, you know, when the three hunters are running, pursuing the Uruk-hai, like they're all three injured. They all have massive injuries that they're running through. We know about Sean Astin piercing his foot. We know about, I don't know if I can say that the C word Abego that made the trip out
right.
I don't know if it was that, I don't think it was that one, but they had all the camper vans that Tammy told the story about where they had a ring of camper vans Western style and they had fires like tonight
right.
They stayed out late and they had food and Viggo was like fishing
by
and,
hand
all this crazy stuff that people weren't even in the scene, they came out to just party and hang out. We know about the hobbits waking up at 3 a.m. so they could get their wardrobe and their feet painted on and glued on and all this stuff. And I don't know. I think all those things like fit under that umbrella. They all kind of point towards that that origin. So, Josh, that was a great question. I loved it. I mean, we could talk about this forever. But
for sure.
Tell us your guys. Send us in if you want to anyway.
Yeah.
The main place we're getting messages right now is DMs on Instagram, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Really, it is. We still have our email, but it's – honestly, like with all the ad stuff we get
Red Circle,
fan sided and stuff, there's too many
ads.
Down.
Like honestly, it's like just to clean that thing out, it's getting to be. And maybe you guys know yourselves. Like, go check your own Gmails.
Yeah.
What's going on?
And I don't know, dude. We're like flooded.
Even my own personal one. I'm like every day, like a man in the gate trying to like keep the spam out.
Dude,
I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. Back with you.
Yeah,
so anyway,
please send us a DM over on Insta. For sure.
Yeah, yeah, and also for more Night Breezes, we're going to be recording these moments in Middle Earth are going to take up a big part of this next year of 2025 as we drive towards eventually getting into the Silmarillion.
Yep.
And
after LEP3,
that's
Silmarillion,
right, dude.
Baby.
Dang, boy, you heard it from him. The flannel wizard is preparing for battle, guys.
Yeah, I'm preparing for like literal battle. I mean,
he's ready.
Like, I'm gonna have that bad boy done. I'm gonna have read everything I can in Tolkien before we start season 3 of Rings of Power. And I'm telling you, I got stuff to talk to you guys about Hunt for Gollum and different things. There's so many cool things coming.
Oh.
And War of the Rohirrim. There's so much goodness happening right now. So we're gonna be the bulk of it. Night Breezes and Moments in Middle Earth and Unfinished Moments in Middle Earth.
Yes.
I mean, it's going
to
be great, dude.
Because we probably have enough Night Breezes to get us to that point.
Yeah.
So, send us more of those, because if we get a bunch, they're easy to do. They're fun to do. We're responding to your questions. So send those to our DMs and Instagram.
We got a doc that we'll just pull them out. We put them in a doc.
Pull them in the doc. Yeah. So. We'll consult the doc as always. I think we end this one with, thank you for listening. Of course, joining us for Sniffing the Night Breeze. And, don't ever, ever forget.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.